Please join with me for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the blessed opportunity we have to come to Thy house and worship Thee. And we thank Thee that we have already been blessed to worship Thee, because we were blessed to worship Thee and the singing of hymns and prayers which have been offered, both audibly and silently. And now we humbly ask Thee to be with us, that Thy Spirit might guide us and direct us now in the preaching and hearing of Thy Word, that Thy servant may preach Thy Word to Thy people in power and demonstration of Thy Spirit, and Thy people may have ears to hear and hearts to understand, but above all, it may honor and glorify Thee, and then edify and strengthen us, and help us, O Lord, that we might be worshipers together, and worship in spirit and in truth. I thank Thee for the church here at Mount Nebo, and pray that Thy richest blessings will be with her, that she may grow and prosper in every way that would seem good in Thy sight. Now, watch over and care for us. Forgive us of our sins. Bless those who've asked an interest in prayer. And all this we ask, together with the forgiveness of our sins, in Jesus' name, and amen. A number of years ago, I was traveling to one of my appointments and drove by a church with a huge sign near the road. And among other things, there was an expression about soul winning on the sign. Now, as you might imagine, being a good Primitive Baptist, I had some negative thoughts and negative words to say about that. Now, I later said that to one of my minister brethren, who told me about this certain text that I want to try to use this morning in worship together, the Lord being my helper, and that is Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. And it reads, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Now, notice that expression. It's an amazing thing how the Lord works. Monday morning, Tuesday morning, or one morning this past week, that is, this being the first day of this week, I had my Bible on computer, and I had it on a certain place, which, where I left it, and then right at the bottom of the screen, I noticed this verse of Scripture. In fact, as you see, it's not the last verse in this chapter of Proverbs, but it's the last verse that was on that screen. It says, "And I saw that he that winneth souls is wise." And that's one of those things that, well, I said in times past that things, verses of Scripture have just jumped off the page and say, "Look at me." Well, this is a little bit different, because this verse of Scripture just jumped off the screen and said, "Look at me." And I did. And now, again, that expression, "He that winneth souls is wise." Now, this verse of Scripture teaches that we can win souls. Now, I remind you again, this verse of Scripture teaches that we can win souls. Alright? Now, the word souls is translated from a Hebrew word, by the way, that means a breathing creature. That's important. The word souls, we can win souls, but again, the word souls is translated from a word which means a breathing creature. Now, breath refers to the Spirit of God, because when you see the term Holy Spirit, or the name Holy Spirit, or the name Holy Ghost, and I was really surprised when I looked this up just this morning. You know, I studied a little here, and I studied a little there. Something will come to my mind one day, something else will come to my mind another day, and again this morning when I was studying it, something else came to my mind, and this expression, Holy Spirit. And I was surprised how few times, probably maybe count them on one hand, for sure too, and a few times the word or name Holy Spirit was found in the New Testament. I believe I'm correct, in the New Testament. But nonetheless, the word Spirit and Holy Ghost, Ghost as it's Holy Ghost, translated from the same Greek word. The word Spirit is translated from the term, or from the Greek word pneuma, which is where we get pneumonia. I believe it refers to the lungs. But the idea in this, the reference is to winning the souls of people who already have spiritual life. Now, there are those who are dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians, I'm turning over there now, but I'm not going to read this one, but I'm more or less quote this one. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead. I'm going to turn over to Ephesians 2. I'm turning there. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, those who are dead in trespasses and sins, we cannot win them. All right? Now, that's what we can't do, but I'm going to get to what we can do, the Lord willing. All right? But look at it in this way. A drowning person can be saved, or a person who is in danger of drowning can be saved. All right? We know that. All right? That is a person with life. A drowned person cannot be saved from drowning. That is, of his body can only be recovered. That is a great majority of the times. I know that there are times that with mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and so forth, someone can be revived. I know that's true. That's true. But generally speaking, a drowned person, but the body of a drowned person can only be recovered. Now we need to think about what we can do with the Lord's blessings. Now, let me stop right here and say this, and that is, a lot of times in the past, or in my earlier ministry, I would look at a verse of Scripture like this and say, and preach about, well, we can't do this and we can't do that. Well, I tell you, brothers and sisters, if I do that, you know what I've done? I preach what this text does not mean. I'm sure there are many other things that this text does not mean, but this text does mean that we can win some souls. Now, and we need to concentrate and think about and meditate how we can win souls. All right? Let me say this. Now, this may sound like a contradiction in terms, but I'll try to explain it. And that is, the saved can be saved. That's right. The saved can be saved. Look, let me give you over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. So that those people that were dead in trespasses and sins, and the word dead or death means separation. They were totally separated from God. And they're not going to go up to God. They're not interested. Those dead in trespasses and sins are not interested with any things of the Spirit of God. In fact, they despise those things. Want to get just as far from them as they could. But they were dead in trespasses and sins, but God quickened them. And it seems rather obvious by the context of that quickened means to be made alive. They were made alive. All right? And then if you'll notice at the end of verse 5, by grace ye are saved. All right? These are people that were saved. All right? Now, look at the next three verses, Ephesians 2, verses 6, 7, and 8. And these three verses read, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is, those who have been quickened. All right? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 9. All right? Now, what is he talking about there? By grace are you saved through faith. What's he talking about? Well, we're not going to find it out way over in the book of Genesis. Now, that seems rather obvious. We're not going to find it in Revelation. That's probably very obvious to you also. But what we're going to find out is, in the near context, what is he talking about? He said, talking about the fact that we were quickened. After we were quickened, God raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus the Lord. That is, when we're blessed to worship in spirit and truth, that's what God has done for us. God has raised us up and blessed us to sit together in heavenly places. Why the heavenly places? Because God manifests himself in our midst. That's a heavenly place, all right? Now, why did he do that? All right, then in verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And then he said, for by grace are you saved. That is, saved from ignorance to the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. There's another verse of Scripture I'm going to look at in the Old Testament that's prophesying of the New Testament. We'll get there a little bit later, the Lord willing. But the idea is we're saved from one thing to another, saved from ignorance to knowledge. You know, you've heard the expression, ignorance is bliss. Maybe in some ways it is. But I tell you what, I'm thankful that I know about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ignorance in that way is not bliss, because to know what Jesus has done for me, I say, that's bliss. That's bliss. And I rejoice in that. Now, and so those who are saved by the amazing grace can also be saved to the joy of thy salvation. You see, in verse 5, they were saved from death to life. Now, in verses 6 through 8, it says, okay, that they've been saved to the joy of their salvation. Now, that's an amazing, that's the grace of God. You know, God didn't just give us life, leave us around to bump around in the darkness, but rather he gave us his light and the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's salvation to our living souls. Now, we can win people to God's truth. Now, with God's blessing. That's the key. And I go and I say, well, I'm going to convert this one to salvation by the grace of God and by the grace of God alone. Well, I tell you what, I'll fall on my face and probably look stupid and say, I'm going to do it. Well, the Lord can bless me to do it, but we can win people to God's truth. Look, if you will, in the book of James, chapter 5 and verses 19 and 20. That is the epistle of James, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. The last two verses in the epistle of James. And these two verses read, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. I'll stop right there. That means any of us can err from the truth. All right, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now, we can save a soul from death. Now, let me say one thing this verse of Scripture did not say, or does not say, and that is, it does not say we can save a dead soul, but we can save a living soul from dying, that is, to losing the joys of our salvation. Listen, I'm reminded over and over what David said in Psalm 51. Now, I don't remember which verse it is, but after he committed this cluster of sins with Bathsheba and having her husband killed, then he said this, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, if a man that in the Word of God, that it says, that was the only time in his life that he didn't seek after God with a full heart, and that he was a man after God's own heart. Well, if a man like that could lose the joy of his salvation, I guarantee you, I can. Because while I haven't done what David did in that cluster of sins, and yet, at the same time, I can't have the testimony said about me that there was only one time in my life that I didn't seek after God with a full heart. If he could lose the joy of his salvation, then I can lose the joy of our salvation. We can lose the joy of our salvation. And so, and we need to remember this, and brothers and sisters, we can convert one another. And God help us to do that when the need arises. All right? We can win people to the cause of Christ with God's blessings. And we can win those who have spiritual life with God's blessings. Now, maybe I was thinking about this all the time during study, but didn't write it down in notes. And I don't mind anybody knowing that I have notes, but nevertheless, I do. But I remember this. Well, I said this years ago when I was here. Now, I'm going to tell you about something that when I get there, I'm talking about the quality of a man's life. Elder Woodrow Beasley, some of you remember him. I loved him. He and I were ordained at the same church. He was the moderator of Presbytery when I was ordained to the ministry. I had a part in his funeral, along with several of his family members. His one son, two sons, wife of one son, and at least two grandchildren. But nevertheless, Brother Woodrow asked his daddy one time, Elder, Wiley Lamb, Elder W. A. Lamb, who baptized my daddy, by the way, and he passed away in 1923. But he asked his daddy, said, what was it about Elder Lamb that he had such a great ministry at Oak Grove? He must have been a great preacher. They said, no, he wasn't there. Well, he must have been, a good pastor, get out and doing a lot of visiting and that sort of thing. He said, no, he didn't do that. Well, what was it about him? He just outlived everybody around. That is, his quality of life was superior to practically everybody around. And because of his quality of life was that way, the godly life he lived, then people wanted to go where he was. Now, this happened to me one time. Now, it's only happened one time, and I'm not bragging about this. But if any good came out of me, the Lord blessed me. Now, I've mentioned to Brother Lewis about a certain restaurant where I went to in Thomaston when we lived there. And this young lady started working there as a waitress there, and she came up to me one day and said, where do you go to church? Where do you go to church? They were looking for a church. And she thought it might be good that she went to church where I went to church. Now, I don't think she even knew I was a minister at that time, because she wouldn't have asked it that way, I don't think. But nevertheless, listen, brothers and sisters, I believe we can live in such a way that people have a desire to come and worship with us here at Mount Nebo. All right. Now, and so we can win people to the cause of Christ and to spiritual blessing. That is, with God's blessing. And I can't emphasize enough that we can't do it by ourselves, but with God's help, we can be a blessing to people. All right? How do we win people? How do we do that? All right? First of all, again, I'll emphasize, God must bless our efforts. And we must look to Him for leadership. That is, what to say, and then when to say it, and then how to say it. Now, listen, all that's important. And another part of that also. But now, there is a key to winning souls in this verse of Scripture. And that is, again, in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. In the beginning, there are two phrases in that verse of Scripture. But the first one is, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And then it says, and he that winneth souls is wise. All right? And the key of that, again, is the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. We are to live godly in Jesus Christ. Now, I've mentioned that before, but I can't say that enough. And put it to you this way. We cannot win anyone to what we are not. Now, I think that's just key. If we're not that, and we try to tell people about living godly and that sort of thing, we're not going to win anybody to what we're not. Now, we're to be as trees. I mentioned a verse of Scripture in the Old Testament. Look at Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 61 and verse 3. Again, Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3. And this verse of Scripture reads, to appoint them that mourn in Zion. By the way, before I stop just a moment and say this. This is about Jesus Christ the Lord. And this is referring to New Testament times and the preaching of the Word of God and the revelation of Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ being revealed to His people. And notice this. And it says, all right, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, mourn because of their sins, all right, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. The idea there that there's the oil of joy for mourning, and the idea there that the revelation or the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that to know that though they were so burdened about their sins, Jesus has done for them what they could not do. And the very fact that they were burdened of their sins is evidence that God had touched their life. They're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. They're alive in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is within them. The life of Jesus Christ is already within them. And they just don't know it. All right? Now, but it says, again, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. We're to be as trees planted. All right? Trees are planted. and they cannot be moved. Now, I know they're natural trees. There are exceptions to this. And on our land, the land that our family owns, about 80 acres, that came from Catherine's mother. Catherine and her sister Jane owned that. There was a, either on the land right next to it, there was a pretty good sized cherry tree, and now it's down. I couldn't tell it just by looking at it, but after it's down and broken off, then I could see it was rotten right in the heart of it. And so it's over. Not far from there, there's a big oak tree. For some reason, was blown down. The roots are sticking out of the ground. Well, I know that happens, but generally, we think of trees that they cannot be moved. Well, we are to be planted. We are planted in the grace of God. God has saved us from our sins, and that will not change. We are planted in the grace of God. And we should be anchored in the truth of God. And when I say anchored in the truth of God, we believe the truth and we live the truth that's found in the Word of God. So that's what we're to be anchored in the truth of God. And that is the sense we're not going to move from that. We move about in the service of God, but nevertheless, we're anchored in the truth of God. And will not change from that. All right, trees bear fruit, as you know, some kind of fruit. Well, I don't think many of us eat acorns, but we eat pecans, and I don't know if we consider that fruit. We consider apples and plums and cherries and so forth. We consider that to be fruit, but a fruit is a ripened plant ovary. There's a sense that cotton is fruit because it bears a seed. And so in that sense, all of those are fruit because it's ripened plant ovary. And I won't go any further than that. I'll tell you, if I do that, I'll tell you how much I don't know. All right, so I'll just leave it there. But now, think about it in this way. I love wildflowers. Flowers on trees and flowers on vines and so forth. And we have some on the land that the family owns. I enjoy seeing those and taking pictures of them and so forth. Well, some of them we have are hawthorn. There's all kind of varieties of hawthorns, but this is a variety of hawthorns. But I don't look to see the flowers on the trunk of the trees. You don't either. Well, there's a reason for that. You probably know that the reason is that they grow at the end of the branches and the twigs. That is, when the branch and the twig is grown, at the end of that growth, that's where the flowers are. And therefore, at the end of that growth, that's where the fruit is. Sometimes later, the flowers have been there, they've gone, they've faded away, but sometime later, I'm going to see hawthorn berries, I suppose you call it, or hawthorn fruit for sure. I'll see that, all right? And so, but that's where it grows. It grows at the end of growth, at the end of new growth. And so, listen, brothers and sisters, we will not bear fruit. Now, here's a comparison. We will not bear fruit, spiritual fruit, if we're not growing in the service of God. And I'll tell you another thing about fruit. Fruit has a drawing influence and is pleasant to eat as well. Now, I don't know about those hawthorn berries. Hadn't tasted them. Not going to do it. But blueberries and other things like that, they're mighty good to eat. But nevertheless, that's something about fruit. Some animals, birds or whatever, will eat that fruit. All right. But we are to bear fruit. We are to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And that's in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. Again, Galatians 5 and verses 22 and 23. Here's the fruit we are to bear. There are a number of times in the Scriptures that we are to bear fruit. But this says, this is the fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, this is the kind of fruit we are to bear. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, there could be the laws of the land against these. Well, what does that mean when it says such as get the law? Well, let me put it to you this way. The Galatians, and one of the reasons this book was written to the church at Galatia, was that they were in danger of trying to go back and worship God under the law. And so he's saying there is no law of God against the fruit of the Spirit. I believe that's what that means. All right. Now, and so we're to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Go back to the text. He that winneth souls is wise. So, we must be wise. Alright? I'll give what is wisdom in just a moment. But an example of wisdom is found in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Jesus here is speaking to his disciples, and I think it's just as applicable to us in this day as it was his disciples. Now look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Wow. Be ye therefore, for this reason, be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now that's an amazing thing there. Alright? We're to be wise as serpents. I looked this up a little bit because I don't know a great deal about that. I was told years ago back in elementary school that a rattlesnake can charm a quail. Yay or nay, I don't know about that, but I do remember this. I did read this and said there's something about a snake and they're sticking their tongue out and that sort of thing that kind of charms prey animals. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I tend to think this for sure. And that is, a snake will stay there and stay still and still and still until a prey animal comes by and they'll reach out, and if it's a poisonous snake like a rattlesnake, he'll bite that animal and then trail that animal until that animal dies. And then if it's a non-poisonous or non-venomous snake, then he'll bite that animal and he'll hold the animal with his teeth and put his body around that and kill that animal, then eat that animal. Now, it's all kind of good stuff here this morning. But nevertheless, brothers and sisters, that's the way it does. We are to be as wise as serpents. And yet at the same time, we'd be as harmless as doves. Now let me go back to the wise as serpents just for a moment. The idea is that we wait and we listen and so forth. And that's being wise, my brothers and sisters, to listen to what other people say. And I'll get that again in just a moment. Alright? Alright, and then we'd be as harmless as doves. I want to tell you, brother and sister, we'd be as humble and just as harmless as a dove. And that way we'll be wise, and that way we might be able to win souls. Alright. But again, I'll go back to the text. He that winneth souls is wise. Winning souls will not make us wise, but being wise can help us to win souls. Alright? What is wisdom? I've said, remember times we're to be wise. Look, if you will, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, and verse 24. Again, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, and verse 24. And it reads, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." The wisdom of God is Jesus Christ. Believing Jesus Christ will help us be wise. And everything, what the things about Jesus and the things Jesus commanded, or the examples of Jesus in the Scriptures, to live those in our lives, that is being wise. And so that is, brothers and sisters, in order to win souls, we must be Christ-like. If we're not, it's just simply not going to happen. It may, in regards to what our past may have been. Listen, what our lives may be now. If people have come to the conclusion that maybe whatever our lives may have been in the past, we're no longer that, then we can win souls to the truth of the Word of God. I remember a number of years ago, there was this couple, they were very poor. They came to Canaan Church in Illinois when I was a pastor there. The first church I pastored, by the way. And they were good people. They love the Lord. They have different truths about Jesus and God and Scriptures all over their house. They lived in a very meager place, but they were people that really loved the Lord and they loved His Word. Now, they was in their past times, and they had a very terrible reputation. It was said of him that he won't steal anything he can't pick up. Now, you can figure that one out. That's the way it was in the past. But listen, people that lived in the community where he lived said, that man is a changed man. So that's what he was in the past. In the past, and he couldn't have done this. But now, the way he lived later on, and I suppose they're both of the Lord now, that they could win souls. We must be Christ-like. People must be able to see Jesus in our lives. That is the way we live. And then also, we must be good listeners. And listen to what others have to say. Listen, we don't just listen. Somebody starts them, cut them off, and whatever. Let them talk. And I'll get into some of that in just a moment, the Lord willing. But listen, we must be good listeners. And also, we must know, it's important to know the Word of God as much as possible. Now, some of you may say, well, I don't know much about the Bible. Well, it doesn't have to always be that way. I'm glad I know the more that, I'm like one preacher. He said, I've learned a lot since I was ordained, and he was ordained shortly before I was. He said, I've learned a lot since I was first ordained, and which is really amazing, because when I was first ordained, I knew it all. I was in the same boat. Thank the Lord that he's blessed me to know more, a whole lot more, I think, than what I knew when I was first ordained. Do I know it all? No. Do I know as much as I really should have? No, I don't, because maybe I hadn't applied myself as much as that. But thank the Lord for what I know. But we need to know the Word of God as much as possible. All of it, as much as possible. Now, listen, I don't know it all. I'll never know it all. I remember the late Elder V.F. Aiken. I remember that he was a servant of the Lord. He gave himself to the service of God. I remember him saying this at the last sermon he preached at the Bible conference down in South Georgia. And he said this. He said, I know whom I have believed. That was his text. He said, I don't think as a young man I would have laid my life on the altar of service if God hadn't been in it. And anybody that knew him, whether they agreed with everything that he preached or not, he was a sound Primitive Baptist, just for the record. But listen, they knew him as a servant of the Lord. Now, the reason I said that, he said, there's some things that I'd really like to know. Well, if he didn't know it, how in the world do you think I know everything? And I don't know everything, just for the record. I could study it, and the Lord could bless me to see that. But now, let me give you a couple of examples. One verse of Scripture that I heard a lot when I first went to Canaan was a lady that she listened to every preacher on the radio, and she believed just about every one of them. But she didn't believe as we do in some ways anyway. But now listen, this is one of the verses of Scripture she used over and over that she rejoiced in. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Again, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It reads, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is, God wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to be born again and be in heaven someday. Well, is that what it's really saying? All right? Well, now, listen to one thing here. Not willing that any should perish. What does it mean to perish? It means to die. Can we die? Well, one way we can't die. We're not going to lose our spiritual life. Can't lose it. I'm thankful for that, because if I could, I probably would. But nevertheless, we can't lose our spiritual life. But like David I mentioned earlier, we can lose the joy of spiritual life. We can become dead to the things of God if we're not careful in our lives. We can't. Every one of us can't. But now, all right, so that's one thing it means. Now, notice what it says. Now, here's the key. In every verse of Scripture, every book of the Bible, let me rephrase that. Every book of the Bible, there are keys in it. Now, notice what expression, but God is long-suffering to usward. Okay? Who is
us?
That's it. Who is us? Look at chapter 1 and verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained life, precious faith with us through the righteousness of God our Savior, of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. These people who have faith. Now remember, faith is one of those things called the fruit of the Spirit. We can manifest faith because it's within us. And if the fruit of the Spirit is within us, the Spirit is within us. And if the Spirit is within us, we have been born of the Spirit of God. And so, now listen. I've read three letters that were written to my grandmother Deacle when her husband got killed in a hunting accident. It was his gun, by the way, that went off. And beautiful letters. Elder V.F. Agin, Elder S.H. Whatley, or called Elder Sam Whatley, and Elder A.R. Crumpton. Beautiful handwritten letters. But I tell you what, they meant a lot to me, but I don't think they meant too much as me as it did grandmother back in 1927. I don't think it meant to me as much as it did to her, because they were written directly to her. Listen, I think of the sonnet written by Elizabeth Barrett Browning to her husband, Robert Browning. This started out, "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways." Now, it means a lot to me. That's beautiful writing. But I don't think it means as much to me any time that I may read it as it did to her husband, Robert Browning, when he read it. She didn't mean for me to read it. She didn't mean for others to read it. It was just written to him. And so, brothers and sisters, that's the key. It was written to a certain group of people. It was written to those who had already obtained life, precious faith. All right? So they were God's children. All right. Now, the Apostle Peter wrote to them, "God is not willing, it's not the will of God that you perish and die from the things of God. That you, it is the will of God that you always rejoice in the things of God." Now listen, what I'm telling you is, that's a verse of Scripture that some use, and then here's a key, two keys to that verse of Scripture to unlock the meaning of that verse of Scripture. I remember one of Catherine's cousins says, well, there's the Scriptures we use, such as Ephesians 1:4 and others that teach salvation by the grace of God, and by the grace of God alone. And this cousin said, well, we need to know our Scriptures, and we need to know their Scriptures also. That's a key, to know what this verse of Scripture and others like that, what they really mean. Now listen, think of this. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, that might be, but later on you might be able to do that. But here's something we all can do. Regardless of our maturity, we can tell others about the Lord's blessings. You can do that. Now, if the Lord's been good to you here at Mount Nebo, you can tell others that the Lord's been good to you here at Mount Nebo. You can tell about your personal blessings or the blessings of the church or whatever the case may be. You can tell others that. A brother was preaching along this at a Bible conference in Indiana last summer, the summer before one or the other, but he said this. He said, people ask him, well, what's the difference in Primitive Baptists and other Baptists? He said this, three words, come and see. Come and see. The idea there was that, I like that. And I'll tell you why. In one way, I'm uncomfortable with a question like that. And I'll tell you why. I'm not uncomfortable with telling people what Primitive Baptists believe. But I'll tell you this, I don't like to say, well, to represent others. I don't want others representing Primitive Baptists because they might misrepresent us. And so I don't want to represent others also, but I can tell people about Primitive Baptists. But again, regardless of our maturity, we can tell others about the Lord's blessings. And I encourage all of you, if you feel like the Lord's blessed you here at Mount Nebo, tell others about the blessings here at Mount Nebo. That's better than inviting them to come here. Because when you say, well, the Lord's been good to us, then I think that's more likely to plant a seed in their minds and in their hearts. And so we can do that. And so, brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless us to be soul winners. Regardless of what others may say about it, but listen, that's a scriptural expression. So the Lord bless us to be soul winners. We can bless the Lord's people to rejoice in the truth. That is, with God's help. And I can't emphasize enough that we can't do it on our own. But with the Lord's help, we can be a blessing to others. I don't mean to tell you that you're going to convert every soul to the doctrines of salvation by grace and by the grace of God. But I'll tell you this. Well, let me back up and say it this way. Somebody told me about inviting people to church. None of those that were invited came to church. And while none of those that were invited came to church, then some others that weren't invited came there. Now, somebody said it in this way. He said, the Lord blessed those efforts. While none of them that were invited came, there were others who were not invited. They came. The Lord blessed those efforts in that particular way. And so I remind you again, we can bless the Lord's people to rejoice in the truth with God's help, and that glorifies the Lord. It glorifies the Lord in the sense that you love these great truths taught in the Word of God, and you want others to rejoice in the same truths that are found here in the Word of God. A brother that preached among us a number of years ago is no longer with us, but he said this. He was in a church that believed in some kind of conditional salvation. I won't go any further than that, and I don't like to run people down. And I don't say it in that way. But he said this, I thought I was happy where I was, but I lay on my bed at night and I wonder, what can I do to save this one, or what can I do to save that one? But he found the truth of the Word of God at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Idler, Alabama. He said, listen, he rejoiced in that and thanked the Lord for that. So God bless us, brothers and sisters, to have a love for the souls of people, the love for people, and love them enough that our desire would be for them, so they might rejoice in the same truths that God has blessed us to rejoice in. The Lord help us is my prayer for Christ's sake.